Mr. James Reel 33. Right, you're talking about the drill that you developed.
The detail that when the Atlantic craft would hit the beach, I was to be up there, the first one up there, at the top of the steps on my side of the boat, and there was another bloke, I think it was an officer, at the other steps, officer of the other company, detailed to be on top of his steps for pulling up the troops when we hit the beach, otherwise we would never have got up on deck. So that's what happened when we hit the beach. I must go before my story, but when we hit the beach, I first broke him up and I pulled him up, and he went running down the ramp. When the landing ramp really hit the beach, ramps went forward, chains or whatever, and so the soldiers could get up from the wooden steps, turn around, run down to the beach, down the ramp, and into the water. Lucky if the ramp hit sand, but of course the ramp was in water, and the chap landed in about 3 or 4 foot of water.
So the man actually needed to be physically pulled up.
I pulled him up.
Yeah.
He came up the wooden steps with his battle kit on and his rifle. And he put his hand out, and I pulled him up, and he was up on deck. And that's where they got up. Mm. And I had to put up my whole company, which was roughly about 90.
Now, you embark on the landing craft. How long were you on the craft for, do you think?
We were on the, well, we embarked, and we were told, there's 180 men down there, find the men. And so each man folded down, they folded up and down, these two little things, and folded down in bed and sort of lay down on it. Maybe took his sort of backpack off, you know, and had his pouches, took his backpack off and pouches around somewhere. And so this is where we're going to be for the journey. And the diesels eventually started up. Christ, when they started up, this bloody blue smoke belched out, and we realized what we were going to endure. We were going to get gassed by diesel fumes, and that was the snag. This damn flat bottom thing bounced about and like a cork, and everybody was seasick almost immediately.
Where would you be sick?
We had issued paper bags, spoon bags. And they were big bags, and we had more than one as well. And every man Jack was sick and green before we started. Off really. And we eventually started off. Started off. And we were told, you know, that we were going straight to the, we didn't know. Changue, Choppy Sea from Berserker. And suddenly, after not a very long trip, we found we were in Sicily. And we were told we arrived at the port of, in Sicily. And we were going to disembark, to stretch our legs. It was still daylight, in the evening. Palermo. So, we all left the LCI at Palermo and went for a little march down the streets of Palermo for about a mile and back again to stretch our legs. All, we weren't allowed to wander, just as a unit. A little march, stretch our legs, back to the Atlantic Royal Infantry. Embarked again, back down to the hellhole with the blue smoke and the diesel. And we've run our way now to the landing. Well, we must have left sort of Berserker in the evening, early evening. We were in Sicily, still in the daytime. We were on our way to Italy, still with the setting sun, and chugging along. long, long time, before dark. And then suddenly, blackout time. Everybody was smoking. Put your fags out! Nobody was allowed to smoke. And we were allowed to wander on deck at this particular time, I remember. I was smoking, I'd get a bit of a diesel fumes. Then we were back down in the hold again.
And people got the sea legs by now. Eh? And people got the sea legs. They stopped being seasick.
Oh, we were sick as dogs.
Still.
Absolutely. Every one of us was ill. Every one of us. Every one of us. Spilling our hearts up. And then suddenly, the hatch doors with the flowers opened. And the sun's rays stamped down. And we saw the padre. The Reverend Meek. And he said, come on deck, my lads. In our little service, let's praise the Lord. Italy's capitulated. He said, we shall have no bloodshed tomorrow morning. Thank God, with all those lives saved as well. Come up on deck and let's have a service. We all went up. And we heard the news. Italy have jacked it in. But of course, the sages and the wise chaps among us said, do you think the chair is going to let them do that? Jerry would probably kick him in the balls and take over the country, and he did.
Who were the cynics and were you one of the cynics?
I was one of them. I said, praise the Lord. I said, we'll be lucky. They'll be there tomorrow morning and we shall see the bloody lot. And I was right.
Were some of the officers and the men taken in? Were some people optimistic?
The pessimists were the ones who saw the truth.
But how many, were they in a majority or a minority?
The majority were hoping that we'd have an easy time and that there wouldn't be any battle.
But did they believe that you'd have an easy
time? But as the time went on, and the orders came for the company commanders to open their sealed orders at dusk. And this officer called us up on deck. And he had maps in hand and he gave us the picture. We were going to land at Salerno Bay. There were going to be two rivers, the Arsa River and the Persentina. The Arsa River would be on our left. We were going to land in between these two rivers, the Persentina on the right. We were going to hope for an easy landing. But every man Jack was to get off that landing craft. Infantry, hit the beach, charge forward, every man must be his own leader, make for the airports 3 miles inland, where we want to capture an airfield for our fighters. Fight forward, get there, if there's no opposition, get there to this airfield 3 miles inland and take it over. And we thought, we'll see what happens tomorrow morning, you know. But we were told to sleep. Any questions? Have a good night's sleep. Tomorrow morning, we hit the beach.
Were there any questions?
The invasion still goes on.
Were there any questions?
There were one or two questions, I think, put to him about getting to these airfields and whatnot.
Was this just a briefing of NCOs? Entire company?
The whole, that's right.
Everybody?
Everybody. There's only 183 souls of two companies there. So, he said, no question of sleep tonight, have a good night's sleep in. Right. And we did. I mean, we were back then, as I said, in a little poem. Some read the Bible, and some wrote mouth letters, and some were very apprehensive, and some were not. Many thought that we'd be lucky if it is capitulated that we might have an easy landing, because Perhaps, you know, the Jerrys wouldn't be there in large numbers, but the whole infantry was absolutely seething with scores of German divisions. I mean, the Syrian campaign had been over. The Jerrys must have known what the next phase was going to be, the whole of Italy. But they were up north, and they, I understand that history has revealed that they came hell for leather down the whole length of Italy, from the northern regions down to the Salerno and Naples area. Paestum area. They must have had some information. The Paestum area. Paestum is the son of Salerno. And they all came down overnight. And they were there. And they laid mines the night before. They must have laid the mines. When we were having this lecture on the LCI, that Italy had capitulated. They must have arrived there then. They mined all the beaches that very evening. And put up barbed wire. And ready for us. With Tiger tanks in position.
So you arrived off the beaches at dawn.
We arrived at
the Can you describe morning. The scene as you, the dawn scene of the invasion?
Following morning, we heard the gunfire, the sounds of war, and we were still battened down. And suddenly we heard the commander of the LCI saying, "I got the signal, we're going in." Brum, brum. The bloody engines went. By now, we were there static and in the sea. And he got the signal from the beach master by torchlight. "It's your turn." "I got the signal, we're going in. I heard him now, I can hear him now." This American sort of dramatic announcement, "We're going in." And engines started up and rev. We were going in. And we were all standing too, all bloody bells ringing and blue lights flashing. And we were all standing ready at the bottom of the bloody wooden steps for the landing craft with the beach. And suddenly, the fretted shudder. And we heard the chains, and the ramps go forward. And the hatch doors, you know, and I was up there on the top now.
So you couldn't see anything until this point?
I was up there, only me, on the top. And I could see the bloody tracers and the bullets, and the floating flares and whatnot. And we hit the beach and I up we came. And I pull it up. "Good luck, lads, good luck." Run down, hit the beach. And I can only see all these dead men. I can see them. Christ, what's that? What's that there? We're supposed to hit this beach. This is our area between the Arza and the Persentina River. And already, it's full of corpses. And I learned later that the American LCI, carrying the Hampshire's 128 Brigade, also a 40th Division, landed on the wrong beach, landed on our beach. And they blew all the mines up. They were blown up. They were shot. There wasn't a living thing in front of us. And when we hit the beach, it's my turn. I mean, I was the last one to run down. We had to put them all up. All my chaps came down this aisle, and all the other chaps went down that way. By the time I was the last man, and I gave him the old thumbs up, and he gave me the thumbs up, knowing it's empty. And I went running, hit the beach. And there was my officer waiting for me. And I said, "What the hell are all these dead here?" He said, "I don't know what's happening." He said, "Somebody's coming before us." He said, "This isn't what we expected, is it?" I said, "Blow your whistle, sir. Let's, for Christ's sake, get off this beach." I said, "We'd be strafed in a minute." I said, "By Messerschmitts or something coming over." I said, "We won't have a bloody chance." I said, "Let's get off this beach, at least. And we get, while we're moving forward, and the whistle blew, step on the dead men." And we stepped on the bloody dead men, and we went to this long beach of all these dead bodies and over the barbed wire. And there were bullets and 88s firing, and we landed in the river Persatina, and we were standing in this river, and we had moved, walked up into this river, which was surprisingly deep for its entrance into the sea at this point. But we were up to our waist, up to our thighs in water, standing there, taking cover. And anyway, the shells with bloody trees all around us, and walnuts came down by the million. And we discovered we were under walnut trees on the bank of this river. And we could go on.
So about how far had you moved inland to the river?
We moved in about 50 yards.
Just 50 yards?
About 50 yards.
And were you under fire? What kind of fire were you under at this time?
The Tiger tanks had moved back. They were firing shells at us from their tank guns. There was a house over there with a sniper. And somebody's trying to get in. German sniper. And the tanks were firing at the trees, and the bloody waters were coming down on us. Company commander said to me, he said, "La Major, I want you to go back down to the beach now. Find the beach master. Ask him, when is LST number still in? Because the colonel's on there." And he says, "We're a headquarters company. You bring the colonel back here and let him know where we are." So he said, "Go down now." I said, "Just wait a minute, so you mean it?" He said, "Yes." I said, "I've got to go find the beachmaster." He said, I said, "Where do you think he might be then?" He said, "Well, over there, somewhere, he'd have a white steel helmet on, but that there was one LST down there, about 400 yards. He says, "Down there somewhere, I reckon." I said, "Right." So I didn't have to stay there until the colonel comes. He said, "Until I send you a relief down." I said, "Right." So I thought, bloody hell, I'd rather stay here, you know. But I went back down to the beach. And when I went back down to the beach, I noticed they were lifting the dead and filling our LCI with the dead bodies of the Hampshires. And I tried to walk where somebody had walked before, because the whole beach was mined. And I could see down there, about 400 yards, the local white seal helmet. And he was the beachmaster. And I went down and went very, very carefully, dodging the bloody bullets and whatnot as he was coming down to him. And he said, "What the hell do you want, Sir Major?" I said, "My company commanders give me orders to find you, sir, to ask you, when is LST number coming in?" And so and so and so. He said, "Your company commander sent you down to see me to ask you what LST is coming in." He said, "What sort of a bloody bloke is he?" He said, "Look at the sea." He said, "It's effing black." He said, "Get on this bulldozer with me," he said, "for a minute." He says, I away from the danger, the black flame. So I got under the bloody big bulldozer there, standing there, and he was under there. And I was within, watching the Royal Engineer Sergeants in front of this LST, pacing, and a bayonet in his hand, and two other engineers behind him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, bayonet in his hand. He lifted a mine. He turned right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, boom. And they were lifting mines. And they knew exactly what these bloody mines were from the pattern. And all the youngsters on the LCA out there applauding him. But everyone, he lifted his mines. And he was only yards from us. If he'd gone on one, we would have had the blast. I'd never realised what the danger was until long after I realised, well, Christ, we're going to be blown up, you know. And he picked up all these mines and just lifting the mines while I was talking to this bloke. And this bloke said, "That LST might not come in until tomorrow, Sergeant Major." He said, "On the other hand," he said, I've got to get the nearest one in when this one's finished. He said, this one is disgorging vehicles that can only go there. There's no room for anything. So he said, we've got to gain some ground before we can get the LSTs in. So, as it was, these engineers are able to lift the mines, and they were laying down this metal road to go on the sand, the old, you know, politeness. And he was laying down a metal give-off road for transport to traverse to get into the harbouring area somewhere in the course. And that's what the stage was.
Were any of the LCIs hit coming in? Can you remember? Were any of the LCIs hit? Were any of them shelled? Or
when that LCI went down, they were coming in, as far as I can remember, one at a time. And as this was, when I saw it loading up, they were loading up pretty sharpish as well. They'd already lifted a half of the dead. And they had to cope with mines as well. And they had RE's there lifting mines where they were, so that they had a bit of safety. But that was going on when I was sent to this bulldozer with this bloke. And after a while, I said, I'm going to go back. And I went back, and the officer said, where the hell have you been? I said, the relief down. He said, to relieve you? He said, about half an hour ago. Well, I said, I didn't know. You told me to wait down there. I said, I've come back. I said, after a recent time. I said, the CO may not arrive today, maybe tomorrow. So I said, that's the answer.
And who was the CO at this stage?
Johnny Preston.
So what happened then?
The following day. Johnny Preston came the following day. Meanwhile, there were more and more troops landing. We managed to get in. Further, we found there was a road. The jettison was drawn, and they were concentrated beyond the road and away from the beach, because now the warships started to fire at them. And ships were passing up and down. We were talking about the bloody way and all the dark. Passing up and down, our front, on the sea, boop, 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 boom, bang, crash. And there were shells like jellies. They got out of the bloody way and they moved back. And we had a naval officer eventually join us, and he directed the naval fire.
How did he do that?
Giving him instructions to fire at will.
But was that a direct radio? How did?
Oh, he had a walkie-talkie. He had radio. He had a radio. And the wasp, he said, the wasp pad's going to go back, he said. And he said, 15 or 20 miles, and it's going to fire and shift that lot with 15-inch shells. And we're going to see it. And that's what happened. Bloody Warspine and other battleships as well fired at the enemy, which was in such large concentrations. There were so many panzer divisions assembled and arrived that they were, well, I don't know, they were stagnated. They couldn't move themselves, and they were sitting ducks, and the Warspine shells and other shells from the Navy hitting sky high.
What did that look like from the point of view of an eyewitness?
Bloody terrible. It was marvelous for us. We thought, bloody hell, look at that. We can't miss.
What was terrible about?
They had to get out of it sharpish. They had to disperse and move, because they realized they never expected that. I'm sure that they must have been thinking, you know, but it's quite obvious that it's the only way. And if it wasn't for the Warspite and the British Navy and everything firing the big stuff at them at the concentrations, we would never have had a foothold.
Could you see the Germans?
They were everywhere. Because I have been back since to have a look exactly where I landed. I've got a full idea now, years later, of the what was there. There was a coastal road, going from Naples behind the mouth here tonight, they're coming down to Salerno, and Salerno docks, coming down the coastal road still, with Salerno away from the coastal road, and this coastal road is where all the German traffic was on.
And that was the target.
Boats were coming from north, from the north. And they had to get out of it. They had to get further inland and away as far as possible and give us a chance. And we, luckily, had a good foot of more and more NCOs landed for the 46th and 56th Div, but the Americans down south of us at Paestum, they were landing there. And I've been to Paestum since to see where they were landing. With the Greek temples in the olden days, the Greeks occupied the south of Italy. It was part of Greece. And it's all visible to this day. And the Americans landed at Paestum and were nearly routed. They were ordered to abandon the operation, and they were going to leave. The operation is a failure, and Alexander said, no, you don't. We've got a foothold now. You stay. You're not going to let my British boys down. You are not. And Alexander told Von Clark, you do not evacuate. And he was going to.
So you've made a foothold at Salerno.
That's right. Eventually, of course, we were able to find our way into Salerno.
But just staying on this first couple of days of the landing.
Yeah.
You return back from the beach.
Return back from the beach.
And what happened then, specifically on that day?
We saw that they were, the Jerrys were getting out of it with all the Panzers were moving, giving us, and we were in action with the German infantry, and we were told to swing left and go up the railway line towards Salerno town. And I was crawling up this railway line when I saw Rumney Iron Company, RICO, RICO. The Rumney Iron Company made the railways, rails for the world's railways in the early 1800s. And here it was, this bloody railway. The rails were made in the place where I was brought up as a boy, and I thought to myself, my God. It gave me protection and confidence, you know. Rumney Iron Company, RICO, I've got to write home and tell him about this. And we crawled up this railway anyway, and they got into Salerno town, where there was shooting across the streets from like Stalingrad. It was summer hand-to-hand fighting. It was really chaotic, and it was war on a par with the Russian Stalingrad. Honestly, Salerno was a hell of a battle.
So you managed to get to the town within
managed
the,
to get
the
into
first
the, into the town and get into buildings.
Now, could you talk a little bit about the role of headquarters company in action? What was the role of headquarters company?
What I remember was that everything was chaotic, and I remember particularly after getting into Salerno town, we had a hell of a day's battering with mortars and whatnot, and we were still only a matter of probably half a mile. I walked down to the CCS, must have been a half a mile, not that, up into the Salerno town buildings from the beach, and we were occupying whatever building we had. We were all in the civilian population had evacuated the night before, or been ordered over the Jerrys. It was absolutely deserted.